Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore in for Andy and Randy today on the Midday Show. Glad to have you with us and glad to be heading out on the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in. You know him from, you've seen him in the pits in NASCAR races. You see him on the sidelines during college football. You hear him on his Rolling with the Punches podcast. Glad to welcome in Dr. Jerry Punch with us. Jerry, it's been an interesting couple of weeks in NASCAR. Give me your thoughts on what has gone on these last couple of weeks in the sport.
Well, first of all, Chris, it's great to be with you guys. Love the show. Love being on with you. Wow. I mean, who would have thought that we would have gone through what we've seen the last 4 or 5 months, you know, with the pandemic and the quarantine and you name it. And then NASCAR finding a way, because they're uniquely positioned, to be able to get back on the racetrack, because it's an outdoor sport and the drivers can walk straight from their motor home to the car and never go to the garage area, et cetera. And then NASCAR and the racetracks, give them credit. I mean, thinking outside of the box, having to be creative, having to run doubleheaders at Pocono, you know, to be able to get a race in on Saturday and Sunday, to be able to run Wednesday night races at Martinsville and Bristol and to be able to go, you know, to places. And NASCAR found a way. It's incredible what they've done in spite of the weather issues that they've had with some lightning delays at Homestead and some rain delays at Pocono, that they're going to be moving in on the end of July with 20 races probably complete, which is incredible that they've been able to continue the season and have great racing. No qualifying, no practice. You show up at the racetrack with one car and limited a number of crew members, and you line up and race. And I think the racing has been as good as we've seen the last few years.
This compact NASCAR schedule, how do you think it's going?
I think it's unfortunate that that the hand was forced to have to do it this way, but they may have found something that really may help resurge NASCAR in terms of fan interest, viewer interest, sponsor interest, not qualifying, not practicing, not wasting all these hours, extra people at the racetrack, all the extra money, tires, et cetera. I think the fact that you line up, and it's like turning back the clock to the old days where you showed up at a racetrack or a short track and said, okay, you unload, you line it up, and you go race, and the fastest car may be starting 18th or 20th. And you have to adjust. You have to adapt. You really know who the best drivers are. You put the race back in the hands of the drivers, as opposed to some team that has 50 engineers working for them. Those engineers can't help you much when you don't do practice and qualifying. So I think it's gone really, really well. And on top of that, they've determined that you can put racing on in prime time on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night, make it a 3-hour show, cut the race down to, you know, 250, 300 laps, and people will watch because the ratings have proven that out.
Dr. Jerry Punch with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk a little bit of NASCAR. We'll get to the Brickyard race coming up this weekend. But first, quickly, Doc, going back to last week, Pocono to me it's always an interesting race because, look, you've seen them all. That track is unlike anything else in NASCAR, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, they call it the tricky triangle for a reason. It only has three turns. If someone tells you they're having trouble in turn four at Pocono, they're at the wrong track. but it was designed after three legendary tracks. Turn one, 14 degrees of banking, designed after Trenton Speedway, no longer there. High-speed hairpin. Turn two is a tunnel turn, 9 degrees of banking. It looks like Indianapolis Motor Speedway, almost flat. Turn three is flat at 6 degrees. It's designed after the Milwaukee Mile. So those three distinct turns You know, speeds of 190 plus miles an hour on that straightaway, very, very difficult. Richard Petty said 30 years ago, you show me a driver that can win at Pocono, and I'll show you one heck of a race car driver. That's a separator. That tells us who the drivers are and who the pretenders are. So, obviously, Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin have showed up that they've got a lot of talent.
Yeah, you mentioned those two guys. They have won they've each won three races since NASCAR kind of got things restarted. Do you see those two guys kind of separating themselves from the rest of the pack now?
It's hard to say. I mean, they've had, since we've come back to racing, they've done well. But I mean, Kyle Busch, go figure. Kyle Busch, if you were to poll the drivers and they could vote without anyone letting them know who's voting, I would say Kyle Busch may be voted the most talented driver in the garage area. He has that kind of car control ability. He's yet to be able to get the win he wants. I think Joey Logano is good. Brad Keselowski is good. Chase Elliott, this kid from Georgia, when he finally starts winning, he's going to be hard to stop. It's like his dad, Bill. So much talent, so much ability, and just needs to be able to cut it loose. So I'm not sure you could say it's Hamlin and Harvick. They may be the hot ticket right now, but it's like game three of college football. You know, a lot can change between week three in September and what's happening at the beginning of December.
Dr. Jerry Punch with us as we talk some NASCAR here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Brickyard 400 coming up this Sunday. What do you expect to see?
I think that it's, first of all, it's sad the fans can't be there, but Marion County is one of the few counties in Indiana that's still a phase behind everywhere else, so they couldn't allow the fans in. But it's the first ever tripleheader. Obviously, there will be two races on the road course on Saturday. The Xfinity race will be run at 3:30, but that's after the IndyCar people. The IndyCar races run. So IndyCar and NASCAR sharing the same racetrack on Saturday, and on Sunday, the Brickyard 400. I think coming off Pocono, the fact that that track is very similar to Pocono in terms of flat and speed, et cetera, I think it's going to be maybe as good a racing as we've seen at the Brickyard in the last 4 or 5 years because of the rules package, the extra downforce, the large spoiler. I think you're going to see a lot of cars running close together and more passing maybe than we've seen at the Brickyard in probably the last 5 years.
We talked a few minutes ago kind of about this compact schedule and how things have gone for NASCAR. Do you think they've learned anything from a scheduling standpoint? Do you think we may see changes in the NASCAR schedule going forward after this year?
I think they wanted to change some things a couple of years ago and were afraid to make ripples in the tank. And now that they've seen what they can do, I think this is absolutely going to be the springboard for change in scheduling. Being able to run races on Wednesday nights in prime time, being able to run doubleheaders. Some tracks, if we're going to lose a race, maybe can run a doubleheader and not lose a weekend. And you can shorten the schedule, shorten the races up, all of which is going to help the sport. I think they've learned a ton. And now, and they wanted to go to some other areas, maybe some other road courses, and maybe look at some tracks they haven't been to for a while. They can do that now that they can run some midweek events.
I like the short tracks, Doc. I like Richmond. I like Bristol. I like Martinsville. Can NASCAR get to the point to where we see more races at tracks like that? And there's really nothing unique about Kansas or Chicago, is there? I mean, it's not like it doesn't have the same kind of feel as Richmond or Bristol or Martinsville. Can we get more of those kind of races?
I certainly hope so. I'm like you. I'm right with you. That's the character and the culture that was NASCAR back at its roots. I think going to Bristol, Tennessee, or Richmond, or Martinsville, full contact stock car racing, pushing and shoving, you know, tempers flaring. You know, you put that on a weeknight, on a Wednesday night, on network television, and people aren't going to be watching the sitcoms. They're going to be watching what's happening, you know, reality television NASCAR style at Richmond or Martinsville or whatever. I think that's exactly where NASCAR needs to go. It'll help with ratings. It'll help with viewership. It'll help with sponsorship. And I think it helps the sport. So the fact that you may be able to go to Martinsville a couple times during a year at midweek, or go to a Bristol on a Wednesday night and have have a doubleheader at Bristol on a Saturday and a Sunday night. How would that be? So the guys you make mad on Saturday, they can come back and get you on Sunday.
Dr. Jerry Punch. He's been around the NASCAR garages for a long time, and Doc, I know you had a great relationship with Dale Earnhardt Sr. It was announced, well, I guess it was last month now, it was announced that Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. You know that family well. Have you got a good Earnhardt family story you can share with us?
Boy, I tell you, you're right. Dale was a close friend, and we had just had a great relationship, trust, cared about each other. He helped me out time and again. I try to do the same for him. Thrilled that Dale Jr. is going into the Hall of Fame. All I can say is that when we lost Dale, it hurt me deeply. It still does today. I think about him a lot. But it was about a year later that the Olympics were coming to Atlanta, and Dale Earnhardt Sr. was supposed to run the Olympic torch because it was sponsored by Chevrolet and Coca-Cola, and they called Teresa Earnhardt and said, we need someone to fill his spot, someone that would be meaningful to the family. Because it was going to be Teresa was going to run the torch and light Dale Jr.'s torch, and then he was going to run it and light his dad, Dale Sr.'s torch, who was going to walk up and light the cauldron. And Teresa told him to call me, and I was so overwhelmingly flattered and touched that they wanted me to do that. So I did that. I basically went. The torch was coming. The flame had been flown in from Greece, and it was actually coming into Charlotte that next night. So it was. They put us in a bus. Myself, Teresa Earnhardt, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Taylor Nicole, their little girl, and we went out about a mile or so out of town and waited for the torch to come up the road, and then the way it worked out was I got off and ran first. And I lit Dale Jr.'s torch, and then he ran over and lit Teresa's torch, and she walked up there in town and lit the little cauldron in the center of town. So being able to do that to honor Dale's memory, the family asked me to do that to honor his memory. I have that torch here in my office on the wall, and every time I look at it, I think about him and how special that was and our relationship was and what an honor that was for me.
Wow. In addition to your work on the sidelines in college football and in the pits of NASCAR, you also have been a star on the big screen as well. You were in the movie Days of Thunder, which ironically enough just celebrated its 30th anniversary of its release. I'll be honest with you, Jerry, after seeing your performance in Days of Thunder, I don't see how they could select that Cruise guy over you for those Mission Impossible movies. I you got to get a better agent, my friend.
Oh my gosh, you're very kind. But as far as starring, no, I got to play myself in the movie, and thankfully to Tom Cruise and Robert Towne, the Academy Award winning screenwriter who wrote The Godfather and Chinatown, et cetera, they were kind enough to ask my opinion and call me nightly from Hollywood, and we just talked about a lot of things. And Cruise was wonderful. They asked me to play myself in the movie and to be a consultant to the writers. And I told them, I said, if you want to make it real, let's get Benny Parsons and Ned Jarrett, Bob Jenkins, our ESPN crew in to call these races, which they did. And it was just so much fun. Many of the scenes in the movie were real stories. I mean, Harry Hyde, legendary crew chief Harry Hyde, Rick Hendrick, others were telling stories. Harry Hyde talks about when he had Buddy Baker as a driver at Martinsville. Buddy Baker was great on the super speedways, but terrible on the short tracks. And so Buddy was in a pit stop at Martinsville, and Harry Hyde walks over to Buddy and says, I want you to go out and hit the pace car. And he says, well, I said, I want you to go out and hit the pace car. You've hit everything else today. I want you to be perfect. So that's where that line comes from in the movie. That was truly a story that the crew chief told his driver, Buddy Baker. And then with the one about Benny Parsons was driving for Rick Hendrick at Pocono, down that long straightaway at Pocono, and he had lost a lap, and he ran a caution. And Benny says, hey, I think I'm going to come in and get some tires. Well, the crew believe in, hey, we're a lap down, so why come put tires on now? They told Benny to stay out. Well, when he finally gets down even where the pits are, they say, you can't come in. They hold up their ice cream that they're eating. We're eating ice cream. And so that actually happened. It was Harry Hyde, again, was the crew chief. Benny Parsons was a driver this time, and they were eating ice cream, figuring, hey, you're not going to pit. And the caution comes out, and they can't let their ice cream melt when they come down and put tires on. So those were funny stories, and they were in the movie. And I think the Cole Trickle character was sort of an homage to Tim Richmond, the talented young brash kid who had incredible talents but knew nothing about cars and had to be taught cars by a crew chief. It was a lot of people telling stories and working together in 1989, 1990 that helped put Days of Thunder. $67-68 million to film it, and Paramount was getting nervous because they spent so much money, but they made $160 million at the box office, so I think it did okay.
How did you get involved? How did they contact you for your involvement in the movie?
Well, what happened was we were at Watkins Glen in August of 1989, and it was about 5:45, 6 o'clock in the morning. We were already at the racetrack on race day, and we're in the TV compound because you got to be there early because it's dark outside, and once the sun comes up, all those two-lane roads entering Watkins Glen get packed with traffic. So we were there early, and I get a note to come to the office trailer. The bosses at ESPN are there and want to see me. I'm thinking, what have I done wrong? I walk in the office trailer, and they said, these two guys sitting on these chairs over here, Doc, they're going to be part of your pit road crew today. Because I normally had a camera guy, and I had an RF guy, which is a guy that would hold that little pole, which is a pointer for the signal. And I had two assistants, they call utilities, that have backpacks that carry bottles of water for me and spare batteries for my pack. And these two guys are going to be the assistants for me. And normally they're local hires. They hire local college students, pay $50 a day to walk around with stuff, whatever I may need. Well, so I look over there, and one's a young guy with a pair of torn jeans, a baseball cap on, head shaved, sunglasses, and the other guy sitting beside him looks like he's about 55 years old, gray beard. He's got jeans and a T-shirt on, sunglasses. And then our executive there says, Doc, this is Tom Cruise. That's the young guy. And this is Robert Towne. He's an award-winning screenwriter. They want to sort of incognito follow you around today and be a part of your crew. No one knows they're here but me and a couple other executives and now you. He said, they're going to be with you. He said, they're going to go everywhere you go this morning in the garage. They'll stand back while you're talking to a driver so they don't spook the driver when you're having a private conversation. But they've got microphones clipped to the bills of their baseball cap with a wire run down the back of their shirt to a tape recorder. They want to be able to hear the dialect, the conversation, the culture that is the NASCAR garage. They want to hear how drivers talk to each other before the race, during the race. They want to be there when you call pit stop. So they were there with me all day pre-race when I'm doing driver interviews, when I'm talking to Earnhardt or Waltrip or Elliott or anybody, hearing everything, hearing the practical jokes, hearing the one-upsmanship that drivers pull on each other out on the starting grid. And then during the pit stops, and then about two-thirds of the way through the race, as it got hotter and hotter as the day went on, Tom Cruise pulled his baseball cap off and his sunglasses off and sort of wiped his face with his hand. Well, one of the other cameras that didn't know he was supposed to be secretly there turned around and shot a picture of him. He ended up being on the Jumbotron, and it said, Tom Cruise in attendance today. People started cheering. He looks over at me, shrugs his shoulders. We got to go, Doc. I said, all right. So he and Robert Towne left, and then the next week I started getting calls from Robert Towne about the movie, about, they really want to do the movie. He wants to write the movie. He would call me when I get home from the emergency room at night. I worked, in a local ER there in Daytona Beach, and we started talking about casting, et cetera. They wanted to cast a female neurosurgical resident, and he said, what should she look like? And I said, well, you can't get a model. You can't get a Kim Basinger or someone like that. It's got to be every neurosurgical resident I've ever been around. They're pale, complected, pasty skin because they never get out in the sun. They're in the hospital all the time. They have long, stringy hair. They're very intelligent, incredibly intellectual. And he called me the next night and said, hey, I found someone I think will work, Doc. He said, go get the movie Dead Calm. He said, it was an actress in that movie last year who just got out of UCLA. She was a pre-med major at UCLA. She's from Australia. Her name is Nicole Kidman. Go get that movie and look at it and see what you think. See if she would look like a neurosurgical resident. So I got the movie, looked at it, called him back the next night, said she'd be perfect. So I didn't pull the trigger, but they were asking my opinion. So they cast Nicole Kidman as Dr. Lewicki in that movie. And, of course, that's where Cruise and Nicole Kidman met. At that movie. So it was fun. It was so much fun to be a part. I was a technical advisor from the medical aspect, from the broadcasting aspect. They let me suggest lines and questions in the movie without question. Jerry Bruckheimer was a genius. I mean, you think about all the Crimson Tide, everything he's done, the Days of Thunder, Pirates of the Caribbean, you name it. He's Top Gun, all the movies he's made over the years. And so it was just great to be a part of that team. And Tom Cruise couldn't have been better to work with. Randy Quaid, Robert Duvall. I'm a huge Robert Duvall fan because he was as real as you could get. He treated everybody the same. He was so good with everybody there, whether you were another actor or just an extra there being paid a few dollars to show up and stand in the background. So he was a great guy to be around.
Great stories. Dr. Jerry Punch with us. You know him from NASCAR and working in the pits. You also know him on the college football sidelines, and he's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Doc, how optimistic are you that we play college football this fall?
Well, I think we'll play. You know, I really think what I know for a fact is that nobody knows what's going to happen. Everybody I've talked to the last 2 weeks has a different opinion. And I talked to one person at ESPN, they say, you know, it's going to be this, this, and this. Another person has the exact 180-degree opposite opinion. I think what happens in the next 2 or 3 weeks is very critical as to when we start. You know, with the resurgence of COVID, you know, can we keep players safe? Can we keep fans safe? Can we start on time? I personally believe we may start a little late, but we'll play. I'm not sure if we'll play a whole season, but I firmly believe we will play. I'm hopeful that will happen. I know colleges need it, and fans need it. I don't think we'll see full arenas. I think we'll see arenas that are 30 to 40% full filled, and I think that's okay. Let some of the people in. Watch it on television, but let's play the game. The television revenues are so important to these schools. I heard a figure yesterday that the five Power Five conferences and Notre Dame combined would lose, you know, around $4 billion with a B dollars if we don't play college football in the fall. So that money, you know, trickles down to other sports and jobs and to these universities. That's important. It's got to happen, but you got to do it safely. I think we'll play, but I'm not sure we'll get started on time.
Dr. Jerry Punch, his podcast that he does with his daughter, Rolling with the Punches. Doc, tell us a little bit about that and where folks can find it.
Well, my daughter works. She's following in the footsteps, I guess. She works with NASCAR, does her own show on NASCAR International. It's called The Pace Lap. And so, some people came to her and said, why don't you and your dad, I've been a guest on her show a couple of times, so why don't you and your dad tell some stories, go back and you can talk about the current millennials, dad can talk about what happened back in the day, you can tell some behind-the-scenes stories. And we started it 8 or 9 weeks ago. We're in episode 9, and we get together and do it once a week. It's on iTunes, podcasts, Facebook. It's on many different formats called Rolling with the Punches, Jesse Punch, Jesse Punch 15 on Twitter. You can see here or there, I'm at Doc Punch ESPN on Twitter, but it's in a number of different formats. You can watch us, you can listen to us. And last week we talked about some of the behind the scenes stories, pretty funny stories about the 30th anniversary of the making of Days of Thunder. And this week we talked about the inaugural Brickyard 400 and how cool it was to be there, in 1994 when there were 85 cars entered to try to qualify on pole day.
Dr. Jerry Punch, appreciate the time, man, as always. Look forward to seeing you back in the pits and on the sidelines again soon, and I hope we can get a chance to catch up again one day.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Always love the show. And everyone listening, stay well and stay safe.
All right, man.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.